Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday morning, November the 10th, 2025. 13 and a half minutes past the hour here on this 11-10-25. Little snow on the ground this morning here in Marion. First snow of the year came last night. Not too bad, but remember, if you're going to go out today and the sidewalks are snowy, put down some salt or whatever you can put down so it is not slick, because it's not too hard to step on a patch of ice and go down, and we do not want to see anybody go down. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to hear from you out there in the listening audience. We had some interesting calls in hour number one. Full city council meeting tonight at 6:30 at City Hall. A lot of interesting questions up in the air tonight. Certainly the two things on the agenda that will be talked about. The third reading for the economic development director here in Marion. Is that still a thing? Will that be a thing? With the letter that the mayor sent out 2 weeks ago now, requesting the auditor of state step in. I don't know where that will go tonight or where the conversation of that will go. And then we've got the local code enforcement office for commercial businesses. Is this something the people in the city of Marion want, or is this not something people in the city of Marion want? Apparently, the pros and cons on this are it will cost more money locally than using the state. And once this comes in, you can no longer use the state. But it takes a little more time if you use the state rather than have this office. So I don't know. That's, I believe, a third read tonight in front of City Council. And every time that has come up, there have been a few people who've had things to say in regard to that. But that's all there. And then you've got the existential questions tonight for City Council. One of those, of course, being should the mayor, should the budget director, should the auditor, should the treasurer, should the finance committee answer questions from a sitting council member? That question was started last week. Emails, I guess it was, from Jason Schauber, and we really did not get an answer last week to that question. Ayers Ratliff asked the question. Will we get an answer about that question tonight? I don't know. Should the mayor know the answers to these questions? Should the budget director know the answers to these questions? Is the auditor the only one who knows the answers to these questions? I guess we'll find out. Then we've got the whole issue with SNAP benefits still being down because of the government shutdown, which may be over soon, but certainly a lot of food pantries and food banks and local organizations that help out with things like this have been depleted. Is this something the local government should get involved with? I would think this would come up tonight from somebody, although I do not know for sure. Should it come up tonight? Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Then we have Councilman Prater, who was on the show on Friday, talking about a meme that he had put out last week. It was a political meme. He has taken it down since, but it was a meme of a woman in a black burqa, and it said, "Playboy, November 2025. He took a lot of heat over this. He was called a lot of things about, I believe he was called a racist. He was called a misogynist. A lot of things came out of that. People said that he should be censured on City Council. I believe emails went out in regard to this. I don't know if this will come up tonight. I don't know if a vote for censure of Mr. Prater will come up, or will his apologies Friday night on this program go a long way in soothing this over, and the people who were unhappy about it will pull their anger back, and nothing will happen with this. So those are the issues tonight. And other than that, when I was in the line this morning at McDonald's getting my morning beverage, I believe there was an old truck in front of me that was possibly a diesel truck. And I don't know, I believe brain cells in my brain were depleted because of the diesel that was coming from this truck this morning. Now, that's all I can say. It was either diesel or gasoline or whatever was coming out of this thing. But boy, oh boy, I think this guy was on his way to do some construction this morning. But boy, the stuff that was coming out of his truck was very, very powerful. Also, glad to report that most people I talked to over the weekend were very happy to bring Uncrustables and donations to the peanut butter jelly truck. So hopefully that organization is continuing to do the good work that they do and not running out of food when they're going out into the neighborhoods trying to help people who are suffering in this very difficult time. All right, about 20 minutes past the hour here, and again, the phone lines are open. Do any of those subjects interest anybody in the listening audience? 740-383-9944. Now, we can also talk about anything else. First snow of the year. That's always a hot topic. People love to talk about the first snow of the year. We can mark it down in 2025. The first, well, I guess it's the first snow of this particular season. The 25-26 winter, autumn season, depending on how you want to define it. Well, it happened on November the 9th. Now, who had that on their bingo card? Not a whole lot of snow, thank goodness. A little bit of accumulation, but nothing gigantic. This is a good thing. We'll see what happens. Let's go back to the phones here and see where we are. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Christian. How you doing?
I am not bad. It's our first snow of the year. It's our first snow of the year down here. I was in Bowling Green last night, and yesterday was the first snow of the year up there. So it's just interesting to see how the snow moves throughout Ohio.
It absolutely is. Well, have you been paying attention to local politics?
From the sideline, believe me, I have.
Well, let's run down some of these issues. I know you're not here in... How much snow did you get down there, though, by the way?
I mean, not that much. They've got, like, heated sidewalks down here, so it dissipates pretty fast. I'd say I'm bad at measurement. A quarter inch, maybe. It wasn't very much. I had to go to class at 8 o'clock, so I got to see it firsthand.
Hey, heated sidewalks. We could use those up here. Well, some issues that might come up tonight at City Council. I think it's pretty interesting. Did you follow the whole story with Sixth Ward City Councilman Ron Prater last week?
Yes, I was. I noticed that, I think, the day it happened, because I was, you know, on Facebook a lot the day after the election, because that's where a lot of local results came in. And I never got to call back in after the results came in because they took so long. But yeah, I was just on Facebook looking for everyone's, you know, reaction to local elections, and I see that, and I'm like, you know, I could understand that if, you know, you're just a retiree who wants, you know, thinks it's funny, but if you're a public official, then, you know, you've got to hold yourself to a little bit of a higher standard. And I didn't get to see him coming on Friday, but I mean, you've just got to stop and think, like, what are most people going to think being like that, and does that make Marion look good?
Well, I guess
I saw that got picked up by a statewide publication, and you know, it does not make our town look very good, especially that our town just reelected him.
Well, I guess the question is, do you believe somebody will bring it up tonight to full council? Do you think council should bring it up? And do you think he should be censured?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, if I can guarantee you, if we were in any other part of the state, that probably would result in some sort of a censure, even if he is apologetic. I mean, that's really not an appropriate thing to do. Like, I can only, you know, if we're talking about the way that people react to social media posts, the entirety of the right lost their mind every time a Democrat questioned Charlie Kirk, you know, and what he believed in. So, you know, those people were all fair game when a Republican had their feelings hurt. But, you know, this is different in that this is, you know, it can be highly offensive to people and it does not represent our city well.
Hey, we're,
you know, because at the end of the day, it's not a councilman posts a racist meme on Facebook. It's a Marion councilman does it. And it's, you know, we're trying to clean up our image as a city. Love your city. I don't think this is helping us.
Somebody is asking this morning through Messenger, what national publication picked it up?
Or it was a
statewide publication, yeah.
It's The Rooster. It's out of Columbus. He does a lot of state house stuff.
Okay.
I think he's from, I think the guy that does it is from Marion, so.
Now, the other question tonight, should Marion City Council bring up SNAP benefits?
Well, it should certainly be discussed. I remember, now I don't have all my ducks in a row on this. I remember the governor said he was going to release some emergency funds a couple of weeks ago. And I remember the administration said that they were going to partially fund it. I definitely think it should be discussed. And I would, you know, whatever, there's got to be some emergency fund somewhere in our city budget, but we've been in emergency for God knows how long, so that fund might be tapped out at this point.
I think it'd be an interesting conversation to have tonight.
No,
now,
yeah.
Now, another thing, City Councilman Jason Schauber sending emails to the mayor, the budget director, the auditor, the finance committee, not getting any response. We really don't know why that is at this particular point. What do you make of that?
I mean, there's sort of been this drama stalemate between Councilman Schauber and, you know, basically the rest of the Republicans for, you know, well over a year now. That's why he was primary. You know, I suspect they're trying to run out the clock on him. They only have to deal with him for, you know, another month and a half. And then, you know, after January 1st, you know, there's going to be one less person there who's going to ask the difficult questions. And while, you know, that might seem appealing to the Republicans in charge now, you know, not having someone to hold you accountable, I mean, you know, we've all heard total power corrupts absolutely. So, you know, we'll just kind of wait and see how that goes and see if people are happy with their government.
You know, Christian, I might have another guest coming up here in about 4 minutes, but is there anything else on your mind that has happened in the last week, election results, anything you've seen or delved into that is on your mind this morning?
I keep going back to the charter vote because that was really surprising to me. Or, you know, I was thinking, yeah, it might fail, but I didn't think it would fail by, you know, 11 points. And I think it just really underscores the importance of, you know, civic engagement and knowing what you're voting for. I think the race in the 6th Ward was also a great example, you know, the importance of people doing their research to see what the two candidates, you know, actually stand for and what they believe. And, you know, I just think, especially because we have such poor turnout, it's not just a Marion thing, it's, you know, a bunch of small towns like Marion, including Marion. You know, this election was just another lesson of the importance of, you know, doing your research and paying very close attention. And, you know, we're going to have no shortage of things to pay attention to over the next year as this new council comes in.
Christian, I guess with a minute left to go here, do you believe that somebody from the audience will bring up the Prater situation tonight or the SNAP benefit, or do you think council will bring up the SNAP benefit? What's your read on that?
I'm going to think, I know council can be apprehensive towards difficult questions, so I would think the audience would bring up both.
So you believe there will be people in the audience who will bring those up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that'll be interesting. Now, Christian, I said we have this guest scheduled here at 9:30. So if for some reason that guest does not call in, feel free to call back. But if they do call in, I hope maybe you can call back in tomorrow or the following morning, and we can see what the fallout to all this is tonight if you happen to be up and don't have class.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let's do that. Let's make a date for that. So if you're able to call in tomorrow or the next day after we find out whatever happens tonight, do so. But if the guest doesn't call in here in a minute, I may be calling on you, so don't tune out.
All right, I will not. Shoot me a message.
All right, thanks, Christian.
Yeah, of course.
Bye-bye. Bye. Christian Pearson, listening in a different part of the state as he's off at college, and we're glad to have him with us this morning. Glad that he was able to call in. I think we might have a guest coming up here in about a minute, but I don't really know. It's another one of those live radio things where I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, but you never know. You know, the snow comes down, and sometimes wires get crossed, and you never know what's going to happen, so we'll see. But tonight's city council meeting certainly will be an interesting one. 6:30, second floor of City Hall. Christian seems to feel that the Prater situation and the SNAP benefits will come up. Pretty good shot that the emails are going to come up. I would almost bet the house on that one. So we've got economic development director position, third read tonight. We've got local commercial codes office, third read tonight. So these things are all there tonight and possibilities. It might be one of the most interesting city council meetings in quite some time, and it's the first city council meeting, full city council meeting, after the election. First full city council meeting since the government has shut down. So a lot of stuff going on here tonight as we head into the city council meeting. And what will it all say? What will it all be? And where will we all go? I was not aware that a statewide publication had picked up the Prater story, but you know, it's one of those stories that is interesting. If it had just happened and nobody would have gotten angry, it kind of would have been, it wouldn't have been a story. If somebody would have posted something political or, as some people felt, racist, misogynist, if nobody complains, then it probably is not a story. The story becomes what the citizens do. And I think that's where we are with this particular situation. And what do the citizens do? I guess we'll find out tonight at 6:30. We'll kind of play the waiting game. Okay, I think we might have our guests coming here. So let's do that. And then we will hopefully be joined by Christian tomorrow. But certainly a lot to talk about here this morning. And I'm so glad we have a first-time visitor to this program for the next 30 minutes, because we certainly want to learn a little bit about him and talk about what is going on in his life and career, because we are now a year away from the 2026 elections, and what a morning to join us as we think the longest shutdown in government history may be over, and it has a lot to do with healthcare, so this person is the right person to have on. He is one of the Democratic candidates in the primary for Ohio Secretary of State 2026, Brian Hambly. So glad to welcome him to these microphones. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Can you hear me all right?
You sound great. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fantastic. Perfect. Thanks for having us on.
Yes. Brian, we got a half hour here, and I want to go through why you're running and your background and everything, but we certainly can't stray away from the news this morning, especially your background being a doctor. The Democrats last night, or I should say the Republicans, got 8 Democrats to cross over in the Senate. It looks as if the government might be opening up. A vote on health care, a promised vote on health care in December, looks like where we are right now with health care. A lot of people are unhappy this morning with the Democratic Party. Schumer not happy with it. A man in medicine, how do you feel about this, and where are we going?
Yeah, I think there's 3 critical things right now on healthcare as it relates to the shutdown costs this fall. One, where we're at as a country, I'm a cancer physician, is unacceptable. You know, a woman diagnosed with breast cancer today in the United States has a 40% chance 3 years from today of either being bankrupt from medical debt or in collections from their hospital. 40%. Most of those folks are insured. They just have an out-of-pocket max that's way too high and not enough money to cover that care. This is a common cancer. There's no way we should accept almost half of people diagnosed with breast cancer going bankrupt from medical bills. Number two, when we look at what's happening this fall with the Affordable Care Act, there are more than 10 million people in America who rely on these subsidies. These subsidies are important for small business owners and people who work at companies that don't cover health insurance. This is incredibly important for access to care, and allowing those costs to go up by 50, 100%, it's a bad scenario, and it's bad for Democrats and Republicans. This is not a partisan issue. The Affordable Care Act subsidies are important across the country. And then the third, you know, when Democrats are negotiating, we need to negotiate on behalf of all American people and not just narrow political short-term interests. So I think it's been good to try to push a long-term solution that is a part of any negotiated settlement on the shutdown. Those are the three things I'd say, Scott.
Well, Brian, I guess the big question here this morning is a lot of people are upset with these eight Democrats, including seems to be other members of their own party. Should they have done this? The holiday season's upon us. SNAP benefits have not been delivered. Should they have made this deal?
Well, you know, I saw sketches of the deal at 5 or 6 a.m. this morning, but I haven't actually seen what's going to be a part of the health care vote 3-4 weeks that they say that they've been promised. And so the details are going to be very important. However, I think Democrats are going to be strongest if they're all sticking together rather than having a few try to poke their head out.
Well, I think at this point what it seems to be is that a vote is going to be taken. But obviously some people who have seen the inside of the deal, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, are still not getting on board with this. So I think just a vote is not making a lot of people happy right now.
Yeah.
So we'll go from here. And do you think people are going to be able to survive at this point? Because the case was being made that health care cost was going to go so high that this is going to bankrupt people. This is going to be horrible. But here we go.
Yeah. There are three critical issues in health care access that are happening right now. One is what we were just talking about, the Affordable Care Act subsidies. More than 10 million Americans benefit from them. It goes across party. It's a lot of small business owners and people who work for businesses that don't cover insurance. The second is Medicaid and Medicaid expansion. And what we saw in a budget in July was 500,000 Ohioans are going to lose their Medicaid next January of 2027. The fact that that was structured in a budget bill where they're going to lose their insurance 2 months after a midterm election, I don't think that's an accident. I think that is a politically motivated budget tactic where 500,000 Ohioans will lose their care at that time. And then the third issue that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is the Medicare Advantage program. And this is where private insurance takes over for Medicare. And what has happened is we have a fall where a lot of senior citizens, including my patients in the leukemia clinic in Cincinnati, we'll get cold calls from private insurance salespeople describing benefits that don't exist. They will threaten patients that if they stay on their traditional Medicare, they might not be able to see me anymore. And they'll essentially tell 85 or 90-year-old patients on Medicare falsehoods about their current insurance. We're not talking nearly enough about how Medicare Advantage has undermined the traditional Medicare system and really puts, you know, too much on older and frailer Americans to navigate a complex system. It's way too complicated for them. I think those are the three most important things in healthcare access right now.
Brian, obviously, we've talked about it here so far. You are in the medical field. Why run for Secretary of State in Ohio?
Yeah, there's three things that the Secretary of State in Ohio needs to do. Number one, Secretary of State is supposed to draw fair districts. as a member of the Redistricting Commission, but also as the most important person when it comes to gerrymandering in Ohio. Number two, the Secretary of State is supposed to write honest ballot language when you go to vote on any constitutional amendment. Of course, this became very important with the anti-gerrymandering amendment in 2024. And number three, the Secretary of State is supposed to make it easy and fair for every Ohio citizen to vote. Those three core responsibilities are vital to improving our healthcare policy. They're also vital to improving public education policy or economic policy. But that's why it matters to me as a leukemia physician.
Mm. You are running as a Democrat in the Democratic primary. Democrats have not done so well in Ohio in the last several years.
That's an understatement.
I'm trying to be nice there. What makes you a Democrat, and what is going to change in 2026 for those who are skeptical for the Democrats?
You know, I grew up on a small family farm in a family that didn't have a lot of money, and the Democrats were always the party that cared for good schools, good jobs, and good health care for people like my family. That's why I was raised a Democrat in a small farm family. Where we're at as a party, you know, we can't sugarcoat this. Democrats haven't won an office like this in 20 years in Ohio. 20 years. It's been a cold spell, and I think there's a lot of folks in Ohio who don't feel like a generic Democrat likes them. Whether that's true or not is irrelevant. When they vote as if we don't like them. And so we need to do three things. We need to show up everywhere. Democrats have not been good at this. We need to organize everywhere. The second thing is Democrats need a message and a story about where we're at as a state that encompasses not just a handful of places in our state, but encompasses a lot of communities and families across our state. Both a story about where we're struggling, but also a story about where we're strong and where we could leverage those strengths so that we're telling a story that everybody can see themselves as part of. The third thing is, I think Democrats have to work harder and longer than we have in past cycles. That's why I announced in January of 25 for a November 2026 election, 20 months out. We've now done 200 events across the state of Ohio when we went to Upper Arlington on Saturday. And we're not slowing down. We have 10 house parties or town halls scheduled this week, and that's a pace we plan to keep up all the way through, and I think it's been very effective.
Brian, a question that has come up for 2026 statewide offices in Ohio is, does experience matter? We've got Amy Acton running for governor on the Democratic side. No, never been elected to a political office. Vivek Ramaswamy on the Republican side, never been elected to a political office. You've never been elected to a political office. What does experience matter?
Experience matters, but political experience is by far not the only experience. We were just talking about, you know, no Democrats won this kind of race in 20 years. And so the experience I bring is as a leukemia doctor who turned around a struggling program in Cincinnati. When I arrived, we were the worst leukemia program in the entire nation, and a Chicago consulting company had recommended shutting that program down. Over the last 5.5 years, I've worked with a team to rebuild this program, and we've seen a lot of success. And now we're in the top 10% of programs for bone marrow transplant leukemia survival in the nation. This is the kind of experience of building a team, working with a $100 million organization to attract people to that mission, and also to implement the mission when we're in place. And then we also need judgment. We need judgment to know where we're at as a party, know where what we stand for. I believe we have to have politicians who are clear in opposing Republican gerrymandering, especially for the Secretary of State's office.
You know, it's very interesting because you are running in a primary that will happen next May. You're running against Allison Russo in this Democratic primary. Allison has experience, certainly in the House Congress here in Ohio. What do you make of that race, and what do you make of your race and Allison Russo?
You know, Representative Russo entered the race in August, and we decided we had done more than 150 events at that point. We've raised more than $600,000, and we're building out a statewide network, and that we're in it all the way through. You know, when I've been traveling Democrats across Ohio tell me they want three things. You know, they want fresh voices in state government. Democrats are tired of what we've been doing the last decade. Number two, Democrats want to fight Republican gerrymandering, not negotiate and sign on to Republican gerrymandering. And then number three, Ohio Democrats want somebody who is going to tell a story that connects across the state with everyone so we feel like we can compete more places. A lot of Democrats, especially in rural areas, have felt like the party has left them behind, leaving it very difficult for them to win local races like council or school board. Even nonpartisan races have become uphill for Democrats because the party hasn't spent as much time and energy organizing in those areas. And that's what we've done since we announced, and that's the same strategy we're going to take forward.
So why would you feel, if you're talking to a voter, if you're having a house party or a public meeting with anybody, why are you better for this job than Representative Russo?
You know, I'll let Representative Russo speak to, you know, her background. I'll say, you know, the three strengths we bring are we're a new, fresh voice. We have been very clear in opposing gerrymandered maps. We think gerrymandering is bad for Democrats and bad for Republicans. And I think we've demonstrated an ability to build out a network across Ohio, to build out a network across our state, been successful with both fundraising and organizing.
You know, it's very interesting, as we talked about, Amy Acton is running for governor here in Ohio on the Democratic ticket. We still really don't know if there's going to be a primary there or not with Tim Ryan. How do you feel about that? Do you think Tim Ryan should get in this? Do you think a primary is good, or do you think he should stay out at this point because it's too late in the season?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I've met with both of them, like them both. It is getting late in the fall, but I'm not a political pro to know if it's too late to enter a primary or not. I will say, you know, Amy Acton and I have spoke at probably a dozen events together, and boy, her message of care and empathy is one that resonates with me and jives well with the message we've been pushing, but at the same time, I've liked all my conversations with Tim.
Well, it's fascinating because Amy Acton, obviously in the medical field, the same as you, and she also has not run for political office before, the same as you. Is there a bit of a camaraderie there between the two of you?
You know, one thing that I didn't know before entering this that's been fascinating is, even though I'm running for Secretary of State to make sure we have fair maps and get rid of gerrymandering in Ohio, people come up at the end of events, and because I'm a cancer doctor, they want to tell me their cancer stories. You know, them, their sister, their brother. And that gets people telling stories. And boy, when you're telling or listening to a story, it's much more of a human interaction than a political one. And that has been very helpful as we've traveled around the state trying to know what people are really going through. And I think from what I've seen at events, people do the same with Dr. Acton. You know, they talk about their primary care, their pediatric, or their public health concerns with her because they know that she's lived it.
You know, the top of the ticket obviously matters in elections like these that will be coming up next fall. Recent polls have some show Amy Acton ahead by a point, some show her behind by just a few points, certainly within the margin of error against Vivek Ramaswamy. Do you believe these polls, and do you think she is doing this well? And if she is, why is that in a state that has not done well with Democrats in the last 20 years, as you say?
Yeah, when I'm traveling around, it feels like it's going to be close. I mean, I understand there's headwinds against the Democrats in Ohio, but when you look at two specific policies in Ohio that have hurt Republican voters, the defunding of public schools to increase funding for private schools has hurt a lot of rural Republicans where their kids go to public school because in some of these counties, there's not a private school for them to go to. And the second thing is the cuts to Medicaid, which are really going to hurt a lot of Republican voters across the state. I think folks that are impacted by those two policies, they're at least going to be looking next year. I don't know if they're going to vote for a Democrat, but they're at least going to recognize that their kids or their people in their family who are sick were hurt by Republican policies because it's just so crystal clear. The second thing I'll say is on the polls, it's been multiple polls that have looked close. I think we're in for a close election. Now, a Democrat needs to be running a perfect campaign and have it be a good year. to win any race in Ohio. And I know I only control half that equation in the Secretary of State race, and Amy only controls half that equation in the governor's race, but we've got to focus on the things we can control, and if it's close, maybe that gets us over the top.
You know, it's very interesting because last week, and you don't hear this very much after the elections, Ohio governor, gubernatorial candidate Vivek Ramaswamy offered his assessment of the November 4th elections, and he said, "We got our rear ends handed to us," and he didn't say rear ends in the quote. That was very interesting, and he said the Republican Party needs to shift the focus to affordability, make the American dream affordable, lower costs, groceries, health care, housing, and utilities, and stop playing identity politics, saying race and religion shouldn't matter as much as character. Now, that's from Vivek Ramaswamy for every Republican who is saying that Democrats did not do very well last week. What do you make of the comments from Vivek in what will be somebody who will be involved heavily in the big races next year?
In 2021, Vivek Ramaswamy undermined an American presidential election and stated that we shouldn't accept the results of a 2020 presidential election that was free and fair. Anytime he talks about respecting the will of voters, I just can't believe it. I think anyone who argued that we should not accept the results of the 2020 election has disqualified themselves from taking part in the democratic process. And so for Ohio voters who are looking for somebody who's going to respect their will, I think they need to look for a Republican or a Democrat other than Vivek Ramaswamy, given what he did in the past. I'm glad he's talking about affordability, but it's just talk based on his past record.
Were you surprised that he issued these statements? Usually, typically, a Republican in Ohio would not do this. They wouldn't say, that they got their rear ends handed to them.
It was a pretty bad day for Republicans last week. I think a lot of Republicans recognize that. But, I got to be focused, and our team's got to be focused on the mission ahead. None of these were statewide races in Ohio. We haven't won anything in a long time statewide. But if you look at county council, or if you look at city council and county commissioner races across Ohio, we just had a couple Democrats elected to the Mason Council, where we'll have more members than we have in decades. And those races were actually several points of margin for the Democrats, and we saw those results across the state. So I think we're talking about a reality that most people recognize for what happened last Tuesday.
As we go along here, do you think that elections are fair in Ohio?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or go ahead.
Does everybody get a fair shake? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I worked the polls last Tuesday. So I was an election worker checking people in Harlan Township in Warren County, where my wife and kids and I live. And, what I saw was we had equal number of Democrats and Republicans. People were working together to check people in, to make sure they got their ballots. Those ballots then go into a machine, and the machine that counts those ballots is never connected to the Internet, ever. And there's a paper trail because all of those ballots go through the machine, and then they're saved in a bin underneath the machine. So what I want every Ohio voter to know is that we, because of the work of Democrats and Republicans and independents, have free elections in Ohio where I trust the validity of those election results and counts.
Our current Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, what do you make of the job that he has done?
Some of Secretary LaRose's comments casting aspersions on the validity and fairness of Ohio elections don't pass the muster. And I think we all know why he did it. He thought that it would help him in a Republican primary for Senate if he were to insinuate that Ohio's elections weren't free and fair. And so he was willing to throw a lot of Board of Election workers, Democrats and Republicans, under the bus for his own political ambitions to run for Senate. That should not be the job of the Secretary of State. We should be running elections, and we should be supporting our local Board of Election workers, not throwing them under the bus for our own political ambition.
Certainly in the last few weeks, we have seen a lot of our new senator, John Husted, here in Ohio because of what's going on with the Senate and the government shutdown. What do you make of the job he's done since coming to that position earlier this year? And how do you see that race between he and Sherrod Brown?
The most important thing we needed from Senator Husted is to continue Medicaid expansion in the state of Ohio that helps 500,000 Ohioans get health care. He didn't get that done in July. We needed him to get that done. Unless he's able to get the Republican Party to reverse course on that, as a cancer doctor in Cincinnati, you know, there is no more important issue to the people of Ohio over the next 12 months.
Even after losing last year, is Sherrod Brown still a strong candidate?
He's a very strong candidate, and I think polls have already shown that he's a strong candidate. You know, as a Secretary of State candidate, I have a lot more time on my hands than Senator Brown. But boy, when I'm calling people or going places, it's very likely that they'll tell me Sherrod either just called or Sherrod just visited their town. So between work ethic and his history in Ohio, I think he's a strong candidate, and the polling is showing that already, too.
The SNAP benefits are not back for Ohioans yet. We'll see what happens with this government shutdown. But this has affected a lot of people. What have you made of this and the decisions made by the Supreme Court to pause SNAP benefits as President Trump asked them to do?
Boy, my wife and I are members of a Lutheran church here in Southern Ohio, and I think we need to start with values on this. And it should be a universal value in America that no kid ever goes hungry. We've got enough money in this country that no kid should ever go hungry. One of the most important programs to support that value is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. This should be bipartisan. Ohio farmers benefit, Ohio kids who are hungry benefit. Anything less, using this as a negotiation tool, it's just not credible and shouldn't be accepted by either political party.
How do you feel about our current governor, Mike DeWine? He's there. He's been in politics for a long time. He tried to get involved in this SNAP benefit issue, sending some money to food banks. What kind of job do you think he's doing?
Some of the things Governor DeWine has done have been, you know, strong and been able to split from the Republican Party. You know, it's unfortunate the current Republican Party is willing to leave Governor DeWine in the past the way they have. And it's unfortunate that their nominee for governor has split with his record on so many issues and been so critical of what Governor DeWine has done. I certainly have my policy differences with Governor DeWine, but I think there have been some successes. I think a lot of people see him as someone open to discussion on a variety of issues. And the current Republican Party has just been willing to cast him aside in a way that I wouldn't have envisioned a year or two ago.
You know, a lot of people have felt and a lot of people feel that a lot of Ohio races next year in 26 will hinge on President Trump's popularity in the state of Ohio. Where do you think it is today, and where do you think it will be in 1 year from now?
I don't know in 1 year. He is not as popular today as he was 1 year ago when the 2024 elections happened. I don't know if he's unpopular enough to make it competitive for a Democrat, and I certainly can't guess where we'll be in a year. I'll tell you the bet we've made with our team is that our role is, if President Trump is unpopular in Ohio for some of the decisions he's made, that there's an opportunity for a Democrat to win, and that's where our job is. In a competitive race in the fall of 26, to be right there, ready to run a winning campaign if it's close. We recognize the reality. If the president is more popular in 26 than he was in 24, the chance a Democrat in Ohio wins is very low, if anything at all. But we need to position ourselves if there's an opportunity, because that requires really years of preparation and work for a Democrat to be ready to win a close election in Ohio.
Brian, we've got about 3 minutes left here in our interview. What is something we don't know about Brian Hambly for people who are hearing you or are learning about you the first time this morning?
I grew up on a small vegetable farm. My parents do farmers markets. They actually do them to this day. And they taught me a lot about how a community works when all of us work together. And that's where government comes in. Government's role isn't to do everything. Government's role is to do together what none of us can do alone. that's something I learned from my parents. My dad was on the school board. My mom was on the Boys and Girls Club board and helped open the Boys and Girls Club in our community. I learned that from my folks. It's why I went into medicine. And it's why when I signed up to be a leukemia doctor, I joined a struggling public hospital rather than a larger private hospital. I thought that medicine is a way to serve. I think gerrymandering is a critical problem for people across Ohio, no matter what issue you care about. We need districts that are drawn by a independent commission, not by politicians themselves. Conservative states like Idaho do this. More progressive states like Michigan do this. This is not a partisan issue. Gerrymandering is not universal. We shouldn't think of it as such.
We have about 2 minutes left here, and there are two questions I want to get in. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but as we look at the whole thing and as we talk about everything we've talked about, again, you being from the medical field, do you think the Democrats that made the decision last night in the Senate are not all wrong, not all right? Are they more to the right in making that decision or more to the wrong in ending this government shutdown?
I really have to see all the details of what's going to get voted on in 3 or 4 weeks on especially the Affordable Care Act subsidies and what commitments were made to know that.
I think the big question is that the government, they have made a deal without getting a guarantee. That's what people are upset about.
Yeah. I just don't have enough preparation from exactly what they've agreed to be able to answer that with any intelligence, Scott.
Okay. And I guess the final question here this morning is, do you know when you might be coming to Marion? I'm sure people would like to meet you, or any counties in the surrounding area.
I have been to Marion twice so far. I don't think we have a third trip scheduled at this point, but I know we will be back. We've been... a couple times and have several friends in Marion.
Okay. Well, Brian, I'm so glad that we were able to talk here today. I hope you do come back on the show, and next time you come through the area, maybe we'll be able to meet up and do an interview in person.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Brian Hambly, he is the Democratic candidate in the Democratic primary for Secretary of State here in Ohio, coming up next May, against Allison Russo. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometimes.